What is up? Thank you for tuning in. The MMA Podcast 193. It's the first show of 2017. Thank you for bringing in the new year with us. A ton to talk about. UFC 207 this past Friday at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. What a card it was. The main and co-main event. A couple of upsets, a couple of shockers. Cody Garbrandt beats Dominic Cruz for the bantamweight title, and Amanda Nunes knocks out Ronda Rousey in 48 seconds in her return. Going to talk about those fights, going to talk about the weekend in MMA, and of course, the 2016 TMP Awards of the Year. Thanks for tuning in. Let's do it!
Listening to the MMA Podcast.
Thank you to Lenny Hart for that awesome drop we play at the beginning of every show. Thank you to Eddie Bravo and Smoke Serpent, who back when we started this show up almost 5 years ago, he gave us permission to use that song as our intro. It is Jiu-Jitsu by the band Smoke Serpent, which Eddie Bravo is a part of and now has spread out. He's doing EBI, which can be found on UFC Fight Pass. Shout out to Eddie Bravo. Shout out to everyone listening here in this new year. Anyone who's ever called in, anyone who's ever co-hosted, from my boy C. Lowenstein, who we started off with, to Ramses, who is the host of the defunct. I hope, you know, there's a chance it comes back soon. And the more you tweeted him at the Aunt Jimmy Show, the more likely it is that the word on the street will be brought back. So follow him, the Aunt Jimmy Show, like I just said. And of course, coming into the modern era, he's over on the West Coast and joining us on this call right now. It's Sweet Pappy Jones, P Money. Happy 2017. How are you doing, bud?
Happy 2017, Big Jake. I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah,
it's a lovely new year over here on the West Coast. So glad to be back with you, and so glad to be breaking it down for all the listeners. And also must echo your sentiments. Shouting out C. Lowenstein and Ramses. Those are the dudes. Much love to my boys, and wishing everybody a fantastic 2017. And looking forward to breaking down the last card of 2016 with you. That was a real doozy there.
You know, I thought about cheating last week and doing the 2016 TMP Awards last week because, you know, it was the end of the year, only one event left, and I'm glad we waited because there are definitely some moments from that card that should be thought of when thinking about, I don't know, Fighter of the Year, Cody Garbrandt, talking about KO of the Year, that main event fight between Nunes and Rousey. We will break it all down, but I guess let's do like we usually do and start with the prelims of UFC 207. We were going to have Nico Price and Brandon Thatch on the UFC Fight Pass card, but after Johnny Hendricks, after which fight was pulled? I know Johnny Hendricks and Ray Borg both missed weight, but of course, Kane and Fabricio. Yeah, let's talk about that first because from what I'm hearing, I listened to Rogan and the gang talk about it on a pre-fight podcast after Kane had dropped out. Apparently this was just Kane fucking up. And Kane, being a veteran, should know better than to go on a radio show before he's fighting saying, A, I need surgery. B, I'm scheduled to get surgery right after this fight. C, I can't even stand up for 10 minutes at a time. Which, dog, if you're gonna be in a 15-minute war against arguably the greatest heavyweight of all time, I would want to be in better shape than not being able to stand up for 10 minutes. I'm extremely out of shape, and I can stand up for 30 minutes to an hour without much of a problem. If you can't stand up for 10 minutes, you're probably fucked. So it was, I mean, in a way it was a mistake. Maybe he was doing himself a favor, because if Kane, if that was true, you know, and he was actually fighting at like 50%, I know he's known as a very fragile fighter, pulls out of tons of fights, but I would rather him pull out than have an 0-2 record against Verdum, just because he wasn't able to fight at full steam. But yeah, he complained about it afterwards, and I believe was officially pulled from the event literally the day after we did our preview podcast. So kind of bad timing there. But yeah, that fight was pulled. What did you make of both of the former champs? I don't know if it's going to be rescheduled. It might not be if Kane is indeed going to undergo surgery soon. But man, I was very much looking forward to this fight.
Well, I was too, as you and the listeners know, Jake. I was really eyeing that one as my Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Century of the Week. Oh, man. I really had Fabricio with those odds. That was really the one that I was looking at. So when that fell apart, I just really, I wasn't sure. You know, some of the underdogs that paid out that we'll talk about, you know, certainly could have seen them going the way they did. But that was really the one I was eyeing. And yeah, it's a shame Kane wasn't 100%. Yeah, kind of interesting timing with the radio interview and putting all that out. I mean, you would think someone as savvy as Kane would keep that a little more close to the vest, such information. I mean, even if that fight does go through, then, you know, you have Fabricio and his team. Certainly they're going to be hearing that. And that's going to be that word's going to be getting back to them, and so they would just be taking it into overtime. Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't get to play out. But you know, man, Kane, he's got to figure out a way to stay healthy. I want to say they were scheduled to have their rematch the first time, but then it was back issues that had fell Kane with that one. So they just can't seem to put this rematch together again.
And then we had the prelims, which we can stack up into one like we usually do. Alex Oliveira against Tim Means, a no contest, which I guess this only was 3.5 minutes in. Means landed some knees to Alex Oliveira's head, who the ref was considering a downed opponent. So Means won't get a loss. It will be a no contest. I don't know if we'll see them rematch in the future, because this actually was going to be a fun matchup. Another welterweight fight between Nico Price and Brandon Thatch. And, you know, you hear so much about Thatch in the gym, how he's you know, in the gym, you're like, this dude's going to be a UFC champion. He's fucking amazing, but somehow can't put it together in fights. This is the fourth straight fight where he has been submitted. started his career 11-1, won his first two fights in the UFC via first round TKO. He's an amazing striker, but, you know, kind of the theme of his career, especially the last couple years, has been not being able to, really get the grappling going. And in his defense, he has gone up against some great grapplers. He fought, Benson, one of the best grapplers in UFC history. Gunnar Nelson, same applies. CR, he is an absolute bulldog on the ground. And now this Nico Price guy, who apparently was known for being very skilled on the ground even before this fight. So Thatch has kind of, you know, gotten tested seemingly on purpose by Joe Silva and UFC matchmakers to say, you know, your striking's great, you can fight strikers, we put you against Justin Edwards and Paulo Thiago, and you put them out in a combined 3.5 minutes. But let's give you some grapplers and see if you can pass that test before we launch you up into, you know, the top 10, top 15, the ranked area. And he just has not been able to do that. This is his fourth loss. I wouldn't be shocked if the UFC cut him. At the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't cut him and they threw him a very easy, winnable fight. And, you know, I mean, knockouts make cash and get eyes on the business. And if you put Thatch up against a bum, he will, knock them out in impressive fashion. Speaking of knockouts in impressive fashion, Alex Garcia just finished Mike Pyle, almost in a scary way. It's scary when you see a guy go out like that and see his head bounce against the canvas like a basketball. Garcia applying the wood in that one. I think, did he win knockout of the night? No, he got a performance of the night for his performance against the vet Mike Pyle. Antonio Carlos Jr. with an expected decision over Marvin Vettori. And Neil Magny, even though Johnny did not come in on weight, they fought at a catch weight of 173.5. And Neil Magny did what he needed to do. He was a favorite. And really just kept the range against Johnny. Johnny was able to get inside and utilize his wrestling a little bit, but Magny was very, very springy, very good at getting back up and keeping the fight standing up. Johnny, I don't know where that KO power's gone. He used to be dropping fellas, and man, the last few fights, man. I mean, Pat, you and me used to be all over Johnny's D. We were all aboard the big rig. He was 17-3. We both argued that both his split decision losses versus GSP and Robbie Lawler should have gone his way. He should still be the champion. He beat Lawler both times. He beat Condit. He beat GSP. He beat Brown. He was unstoppable. He was gonna mow through Wonder Boy, and that was that. And that was just about a year ago. That was February 6th of 2016, and man, it was not a good year for the big rig. Fighting three times, missing weight twice. He missed weight in his UFC 200 fight against Kelvin Gastelum and his UFC 207 fight against Neil Magny, losing both fights via pretty one-sided unanimous decision. And, of course, the fight before getting TKO'd in the first round by Wonder Boy, who would eventually go on to fight for a title to a draw with current champ Tyron Woodley. Bringing us to the point, which is, where does Johnny go from here? Does, you know, is he truly, you know, no longer a title contender now that he's lost three in a row? I don't know where, here, let's check where his ranking is currently in the UFC rankings, welterweight. Right now, he's 11th. He's between Gunnar Nelson and Jorge Masvidal. He was sixth, dropped five spots, losing to Neil Magny, who's now eighth. I still think he beats guys at the bottom of that list. I think if fighting against Jorge Masvidal would be fun. Both of those guys offer their own threats, both standing up and on the ground. I don't know what it is with Johnny, but his skills. There are guys who just simply don't improve, but Johnny seems to have declined in the last year markedly. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a very interesting case with Johnny Hendricks.
It's like that explosiveness, like that power and explosiveness you would see him fight, you know, in the GSP fight, the Lawler fights. There's not that, you know, explosive nature of the way he fights anymore.
You know, and I want to say that it was in between or after his first Lawler fight, going into the second Lawler fight, maybe it was going into the second Lawler fight. He had injured his bicep, and he had to have surgery on a torn bicep at one point. I want to say that was either going into that fight or he injured it in the second Lawler fight, and then after that fight. He had the bicep repaired. I want to say that was after his second fight with Lawler. And I don't know, perhaps that could have something to do, I mean, with just tearing a muscle in that nature. I mean, that could make you fight differently. Who knows? Maybe some sort of loss of power. You know, not wanting to strike in a fashion which you were used to doing. Maybe that has something to do. I mean, even Joe Rogan was talking about it. The kind of power that he was putting on people. I mean, the way he put out John Fitch, the way he put out Martin Campman, just launched these guys across the ring with these rocket shots. He just does not seem to be doing that anymore. Who knows if that's just the opponents he's fighting or the surgery. Some people have even thrown out USADA out there. Who knows? There's lots of theories going around about that. The fight itself between Hendricks and Magny, it was a good fight. It was a close fight. You can make a case, really, for either fighter winning this fight. I'd have to go back and rewatch it myself. There were some interesting... It was an interesting night of fights. A lot of good action. I thought Hendricks could have been given the nod. I could see Magny being given the nod as well. But I actually probably would have been more inclined to see Johnny take that decision. I seem to remember him having a lot of good top control, landing some good ground and pound. I mean, I don't know. Magny was doing really well in this fight as well. It was a good close fight. I need to rewatch that. But yeah, Johnny Hendricks, certainly not the steamrolling juggernaut, NCAA D1 champion knockout machine that was certain to reign over the 170-pound division that he once seemed to be. Marvin Vettori, I thought, put on a good show in his UFC debut against Antonio Carlos Jr. Looked markedly smaller, I thought, than Zapato coming into this fight. Looked like a much smaller 185, maybe should be cutting down to 170. You know, sometimes the guys do that. They'll take a fight up or down from a weight class, you know, just to get into the UFC. But no, it was a good show. Good fight there on both fighters' parts. And then, yeah, Alex Garcia versus Mike Pyle. Man, I really – that was pretty much absolutely how I thought that one was going to happen. I just really didn't want to see it, but, you know, it ended up happening. Alex Garcia just has so much power, and sadly, we've seen Mike Pyle taking some really big hits as of late. He's still had some decent wins here, scattered about here and there, but man, his loss to Alberto Mina with the flying knee, that was a very rough loss. You know, but hey, he was TKOing people. That's he seems to still get the finishes every now and then, but man, he's taking them at a good clip these days. It's unfortunate to see. But hey, you gotta give Alex Garcia props. I mean, Mike Pyle came out to fight. He was looking sharp. He was looking very sharp. But you know, you talk about someone with that explosive power. Whew, Alex Garcia, the Dominican Nightmare. He certainly has it. And yeah, he put it on Mike Pyle in a major way. Nico Price, talk about impressive debuts. Nico Price coming in, getting that solid submission victory over the once highly touted prospect, Brandon Thatch. Yeah, solid, very solid showing. And then Tim Means versus Alex Oliveira. I'll tell you what, I thought that probably should have been no contest as well, but going back and looking at the replays, you can see that really he only had 2 points of contact when the knees hit his face. One of the feet, his right foot was up both times that the knee hit him in the face, meaning that he only had one knee, and he only had his left knee and his left foot on the ground as points of contact. I don't know. That's just me. Probably could have gone that way. But, you know, split second, I mean, that's such a tough thing to have happen. You know, you really kind of do need the freeze frame to even see that's happening. But I mean, then again, I don't know. You're the referee. You're in the cage. You should have the best seat in the house above, you know, even that of the TV angles and everything like that. So, yeah, rough one. Plus, the Dirty Bird, that's my boy. That was an exciting fight. Love Alex Oliveira as well. He's a fun cowboy in his own right. Certainly deserving of the moniker.
Should have been made to switch after Donald Cerrone beat him. I'm sorry.
Right, that should have been a fight for the rights. Fight for the rights to the cowboy nickname.
Really, it should have.
They should just start doing that too. Just, you know, Pitbull fight for the Pitbull nicknames, and all that stuff. You know, all the different.
I don't care if it's like a hair, like a hair versus career match, or like a beard versus eyebrow match, or a hair versus hair match in the ladies' division. Like, I am all down for cheap gimmicks.
Yes. Oh yeah. No. I mean, it works. They move. They sell. Yeah, but no, solid prelims to start out all 207 there.
And that brought us to the main card. Ray Borg wins a pretty one-sided decision against Lewis Smolka. Dong Young Kim defeats Tarek Safady in what was a very close fight. I actually ruled it a draw, but I really can't say that it would have been a robbery either way. I think Safady convincingly won the first round. Kim didn't win the third round as convincingly as Tarek won the first round, but still did enough to earn a 10-9. And that second round, I could see you scoring it either way. I personally, I give out more 10-10s than most. So I scored it a 10-10. And scored it a 29-29 draw, but Kim ends up getting the split decision there. And congratulations to the U.S. junior team who just now won the gold medal in a shootout. It was very exciting. But back to UFC 207, TJ Dillashaw also defeating John Lineker in a match that, man, hats off to the Brazilian. I still think he has a bright career. The guy just drops anyone he puts his hands on. But guys like Dillashaw, Garbrandt, Mighty Mouse, Cruz, I think they're on Mars skill-wise. And I don't care if you can knock out a 700-pound gorilla with head movement and footwork like we saw Dillashaw display on Friday night. There's a reason why he will be getting the next shot against the new champ, Garbrandt. Dillashaw just, you know, winning a 30-26 against a very, very, very good fighter, showing you that he is really just a whole step above. So Dillashaw, Kim, and Borg are your winners there, and I guess we'll break down the title fights on their own. What did you take from these three fights?
Yeah, Borg looked very impressive in his matchup here against Louis Smolka, the Last Samurai. Just super super grappling, some solid striking as well. He was able to navigate the long reach and the stature that Louis Smolka brings to the 125-pound division. You know, he said he's looking to fight Demetrius Johnson in 2017. Who knows? Hopefully he can get a couple wins together. Who knows? Maybe materialize that before the end of the year. It'd be nice to have a good new prospect in there. I'm also with you, Jake. I thought, well, for myself personally, I thought either you have to give that to Saffedean or that fight's a draw. I don't know. The majority of MMA media seemed to went that way. I want to say there was most everybody went Saffedean. A couple people went draw. As many people in the MMA media went draw as they did decision for Dong Young Kim. But the majority of people went with Saffedean. I would not be disappointed with the draw. Probably could have went to Saffedean, but you know, not the most bang up fight. TJ Dillashaw, though, he certainly put on an epic against John Lineker. Really navigated that test quite expertly. I mean, Lineker, always fast, always dangerous. He was doing his best, bull rushing Dillashaw, working some good body shots. He was certainly giving it the old try, but man, Dillashaw, he was able to slip him well. When Lineker was able to land, Dillashaw showed a good chin, but for the most part, Dillashaw was exercising that range, using that power, and it was a very solid fight all the way around. Good grappling, using those takedowns very nicely. It's going to be fantastic seeing him fight the winner of the Cody Garbrandt Dominic Cruz fight.
Yeah, and I guess that brings us to that Cruz Garbrandt fight, and man, Cody Garbrandt impressed the world. I don't think many people, you know, the line was at like -250 for Cruz. Cruz, you know, had only lost once in his entire career fighting at world, you know, world top class level, and he avenged that loss twice. Losing to Faber early on and then beating him two more times. Cody Garbrandt, it really wasn't a close fight, man. It was this guy going in against Goliath and not even like Garbrandt embarrassed him. Garbrandt, every time Cruz threw, Garbrandt was somewhere else. His head movement was on point. I guess Team Alpha Male had finally figured out that little awkward jab step that Cruz loves throwing. You know, this I guess was Team Alpha Male's seventh fight against Cruz. Cruz obviously going 5-1 previously, winning the last five. Just a wild fight. Cruz not only missing shots, but being taunted as Cody Garbrandt would, you know, put his hands on his hips and look at his wrist as if he had a watch on, and just doing all sorts of things, doing the Toro bullfighter type thing. I mean, breakdancing at one point. The guy was, pulling shit off that I didn't think we would see if they fought 100 times. If like before seeing this, if I would have thought if they would have fought 100 times, I wouldn't have predicted it to be this one-sided any of those times. Cody Garbrandt, it was a thrilling fight. He seemingly had chances to put him away in the fourth round, dropped Cruz, I believe, four times, won the fourth round 10-8, and just an absolutely stunning fight. Garbrandt is your new champion. What did you make of that fight, man? It was wild, to say the least.
Yeah, it really was. That was not the, I mean, if anything, most people, I think, thought that the elusiveness, this fighter was unable to catch the other fighter, you know, was never there when he wanted him to be. That's usually the way we describe Dominic Cruz fighting anybody. You know what? He just wasn't there, slipped and ripped. And, you know, man, Cody Garbrandt, I mean, we knew about the heavy hands. He, I guess, just in his UFC career has just come in and put people away so quickly. We really haven't had a chance to see too much of his overall game. So, man, this was a fantastic display. And even in some of the buildup, you know, they're talking about how he grew up boxing or stuff like that. You know, how he was boxing in the family, or his uncle was his boxing coach and stuff like that. And you could tell he had been in that boxing game for a long time, because that was top notch level head movement, the kind of stuff you really don't see in a lot of mixed martial arts. And yeah, the footwork was there all night. The taunting, world class level taunting. Yeah, I mean, that fight probably should have been stopped in the fourth round. In just about any other combat sport, that would have been stopped after that many times being dropped in a single round. Yeah, that was. I mean, Dominic Cruz had his moments. I mean, it was a 25-minute fight. Not to say that he had no success. He did have a couple takedowns, I want to say. You know, he landed his strikes, but certainly not as often as Cody Garbrandt. And Garbrandt, he was able to, you know, out Dominic most, you know, hitting him with those good, those very well timed takedowns. It was just a championship level performance all the way around. And yeah, the taunting, oh my goodness, certainly world class in and of itself.
And I guess, man, you know, we'll expand on this next week, because next week we have a very short show, and I know you have a hard out in a little bit here, and I said I'd rather do two short shows this week and next week than do a long show and skip a week. So next week we will talk about specifically what's next for Garbrandt, probably the Dillashaw match, and yeah, it'll be fun talking about that potential fight. And the other bantamweight division, the women's bantamweight, Ronda Rousey. You know, Rousey and Cruz both look different walking out. They both usually walk out with this stoic look of determination on their face. They both walked out looking pissed off and bug-eyed. And I think they both, for some reason, I don't know why, just were not fighting with the same mental, with the same stoicness as they usually do. Rousey, I mean, the story here is clear, and if you're an MMA fan, I don't need to recite it to you again. She trains with a horrible camp. She was not ready at all. She used to be on top of the sport, but if you're training with a not elite camp, there are so many great camps: Jackson's, American Top Team, American Kickboxing Academy, Rufus Sport, Black Zillions. I mean, there are probably over a dozen of really great camps that you can evolve with. Glendale Fighting Academy is not one, and Ronda Rousey used to be at the top of the food chain, and the game has evolved past her. Doesn't mean she can't catch back up, which I doubt. You know, everyone's saying she'll probably retire at this point. She'll have to accept taking way less than $3 million next time around. The game has evolved past her. You have women like Amanda Nunes, and I suspect Valentina Shevchenko would put Rousey away just as easily. This was sad to see, but not really surprising at all. You expected it to be like all of Rousey's other fights and be either one-sided in victory or defeat. And Amanda put her out in 48 seconds. I don't know really if there's not, you know, Nunes is a great fighter. I think she's definitely has a few flaws in her game, and I think a fight against Shevchenko or Pena, whoever she fights next, will be an interesting one, and probably a lot closer than this Rousey fight. What did you make of this main event?
Well, I certainly thought it could have gone the way that it did. The way that Amanda Nunes was looking leading into that fight, and really all the tells were there, Jake. I don't know why I even thought for a second Rousey was going to win. I mean, she couldn't even go to any of the press. That's not that's just not who she was. That's not who she's been. It's so telling, and really there was no. Now that is a fight. I mean, literally only lasted a matter of seconds, and there was not one of those seconds that Ronda Rousey was in it. She probably should not have been in the cage that night, but man, Amanda Nunes, she really proved she's the real deal. And not that she hasn't by her body of work as of late, but that was just a trucking absolute. She put her away with those hands. Fantastic stoppage by the ref. And as you said, Jake, and you look back at the Holly Holm fight with Ronda Rousey. That fight went two rounds. In between the first and the second round, after Ronda Rousey was just getting picked apart by Holly Holm, you heard the corner audio from Ronda Rousey's corner, and there was absolutely no constructive criticism. It was, good job, champ, this, that, and the other. While she was getting beaten to death out there, they had not even a single piece of analysis. Slip the jab.
The last 30 seconds, all he did was yell no and clinch. No, no, clinch, clinch, clinch. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Like, Jesus.
Yeah. Bums. No, you got to get with a real, camp. You can't be doing that. She got to where she was basically just on the strength of her judo background, her parental upbringing, all that stuff. It was not help with the help of the Glendale Fight Club that she got to where she is. Maybe they brought in some decent people, but really, as you stated, Jake, there's probably a lot of camps that she could have gone with that would have just been so much better for her. Camps with legitimate coaches that are proven in mixed martial arts and have other top tier talent around there. I mean, who else even trains at the Glendale Fight Club? It's just Ronda Rousey and Edmund, and Travis Brown pops in every once in a while, I guess. Who knows? It was unfortunate to see Ronda Rousey out there just so checked out already. But that's the way it goes. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens if that was her last fight, or who knows, maybe she will have another fight, and maybe this one will wake up reignite the fire, but it'll be interesting to see. Certainly, Amanda Nunes is looking very good. Looks like she's probably got Shevchenko on the horizon. Going to be a great scrap there. Can't wait to see what happens. But man, Amanda Nunes, she's certainly looking good these days. I know Kat Zingano's chomping at the bit, wanting to get in there, back in that mix at 135 pounds. So certainly, although Ronda Rousey may be on her way out, the women's divisions are looking very exciting these days.
Yeah, and you know what? I think Amanda really can be a marketable champion. You know, she's very likable, always laughing, always a smile on her face. The first champion who's an openly gay fighter, and she's also dating UFC strawweight Nina Ansaroff. Seems, you know, the one thing I was not really sure about and kind of questioned was leading up to the fight, she was nothing but, you know, complimentary toward Rousey, saying, oh, she's one of the best ever, blah, blah, blah. Then after the fight, she goes on TMZ and is like, oh, I didn't train as hard for Rousey as I did for Tate because I knew she was overrated and not as good as everyone thought she was. I'm like, damn, you're doing this in the opposite way. Like, you're supposed to talk shit before the fight, then win, then compliment the person. Not compliment the person, beat them, then talk shit on TMZ. Maybe it, you know, things were a bit loose with translation, with her not being the best English speaker and probably getting ambushed by TMZ somewhere. But, nonetheless, a very likable champion. We're about 40 minutes in. I figure it'll take us another 15 minutes tops to do this TMP award segment, and then put a bow on it. But Pat, I know you got a hard out, so if you have to leave, you can dip. I have all the results in front of me. Of course, if you'd like to stay, I would love to break down the awards with you. If you have to leave, we can get your choices next week. Yeah, are things on your end? Do you have to dip here?
Oh, you know, yeah, unfortunately it is a pretty hard out here.
Trying times in the desert. All right, well, you get the fuck out of here, and I will break down the awards. We'll talk about your picks, and we will ship you out, and it'll only be me and the listener. It'll be some sensual time between you and me. Pat, ooh-wee, can be found on Twitter. Ooh wee, TMP 193 with you and me. You're at Sweet Pappy Jones on Twitter. Anything else before we all let day. You go? All day, all day.
All day, all day. You know what? That's about it, good sir. It's always a pleasure, Jake.
Cowboys great getting back got a first with you. Round bye this weekend, so you'll be
Cowboys just got a first round. Oh man, we're maxing, we're resting up, we're getting ready. It's gonna be a fun playoffs. Can't wait for that. And can't wait to get back with it, get back to 2017, starting it strong in the regular groove. Going to be back next week as well. Getting ready for that Yair Rodriguez, BJ Penn headlining card. Ooh,
it's wild. In 2017, the first two events of 2017 are being headlined by BJ Penn and then Chael Sonnen. Wild world. But yeah, we will let you get out of here and get your awards next week. And until next week, take it easy, brother.
Oh, thank you, brother. Peace.
Later. And there he goes. Old P Money. He's out of here. He's got important shit to do. And in all honesty, he told me he had this hard out hours ago, and I didn't get my shit together to go live until pretty late this evening. So it is more on me than it is on him. But I guess let's get to those TMP awards. The only real bit of news looking here on the Reddit r MMA page, the biggest news of the week. It really appears the only big bit of news was it was made official that we're going to see Alistair Overeem and Mark Hunt 2 at UFC 209 on March 9th. Mark Hunt saying he's going to sue Alistair Overeem if he fails his drug test. Don't know if there's any precedent for that, but you know the tirade he has been on since the Brock fight and even before then. We actually broke down this fight because it was rumored that it was going to happen, and that they were just waiting on getting the contract signed, and apparently the contracts now have been signed. The only other bit of news that was kind of a bummer, you know, we said on the last show that it was sad that it was going to be Mike Goldberg's final card ever, UFC 207, a guy who's been around with the company for years. You know, his last words ever were, "Happy New Year, everyone. So long." They didn't give him a single nod during the entire broadcast, which is just downright a slap in the face. It's a dick move. After all the years of work that Mike Goldberg has put in, he really is the voice of the UFC broadcasts. Just a really shitty way that they let him go. I hope next time around that they, you know, give him a tip of the hat whenever we find out who replaces him. Just very, very poor way to break off things with old Goldie. Habib Ferguson still being rumored, but no official papers being signed yet. Apparently, Tony Ferguson wants to get paid the same as Habib, and Habib is now offering to pay Ferguson the difference out of his own pocket. So, I don't know what happens there. Yeah, I guess that brings us to the TMP Awards. We did a thing on SurveyMonkey. We did this last year too, and it seemed to work out. We got about 20, 21 or so odd responses. And, we did five categories: knockout, submission, fight, fighter, and card of 2016. I looked around and saw what a lot of people were nominating, and I picked the top five for each and also left an other. So if you know, you had one that wasn't listed, you could list it yourself. So I guess let's start with knockout of the year. Knockout of 2016. Honorable mentions going to Wonder Boy knocking out Johnny Hendricks with that spinning back kick and punch at UFC, UFC Fight Night 82. Stipe had a couple of good knockouts over Andre Arlovsky and Fabricio Verdum, Overeem, I believe, yeah. The top three, second place in voting from the fans was Dan Henderson. That head kick and elbow. Who expected Dan Henderson, A, to finish Hector, A, to beat Lombard, B, to finish Lombard, C, to do it with a head kick, landing that head kick and following up with elbows at UFC 199. But the top two that were tied with the fan votes, another UFC 199 knockout, Michael Bisping over Luke Rockhold and Amanda Nunes over Ronda Rousey. So it's a fan tie. Both of them got six votes. And as far as me picking my favorite one, I think, honestly, I have to go with, that's tough. I have to go with Henderson over Lombard just because that was just so unexpected. And, you know, the guy's such a legend and so well loved. And, I think a lot of people jumped up out of their chairs watching that both in the arena and on the broadcast. Submission of the year. I'll get straight to it. Your honorable mentions: Cerrone over Brazilian Cowboy, Brian Ortega over Diego Brandão, both of those triangle chokes. Second place was a tie with the fans: Ben Rothwell over Josh Barnett via front choke, Misha Tate with that fifth round rear naked choke over Holly Holm at UFC 196. But I think you pretty much undoubtedly, I agree with the fans here, and the fans picked it pretty overwhelmingly. The listeners and myself picking Nate Diaz over Conor McGregor at UFC 196. Just the roof exploding off the top of the MGM Grand once Nate sunk in that rear naked choke, stood up, flexing, shook up the world, even though Conor would eventually come back and you know, get his revenge. Let's see, event of the year, card of the year. The fan, honorable mentions, UFC 195, Lawler Condit, UFC Fight Night 81, Dillashaw Cruz. Both of those were just awesome main events. UFC on Fox, Johnson versus Bader, that had a lot of fun finishes. Your top two, second place, the aforementioned UFC 196 card, McGregor versus Diaz won. And like the last category, I agree with the fans here. I think the event of the year was, just a while ago, UFC 206. Half of the fans picked it and I pick it too. Holloway versus Pettis. That had so many fun fights, including a fight that made a big splash with fight of the year in Swanson versus Choi. Fun card. And speaking of fight of the year, both of the Conor versus Nate fights, I think earn honorable mentions because they were both wars. Dillashaw versus Cruz getting a couple votes. Tied for first place, Cub Swanson versus Du Ho Choi and Robbie Lawler versus Carlos Condit. Even though I think I saw a lot of other outlets pick Lawler Condit from UFC 195, this was a war. I gotta go with Cub Swanson and Choi. That was, Choi ate so much damage. I don't know how he didn't go out and was still throwing. It was back and forth. It was absolutely amazing. And your final category, Fighter of the Year. This is honestly, in my eyes, between two different guys. Yeah, Stipe had a good year. Amanda Nunez had a good year. Wonder Boy had a good year. Woodley had a good year. Nate Diaz had a good year. Habib had a good year. Mighty Mouse had a good year. Who else had a good year? A lot of people had pretty good years. But I don't think anyone really stacks up to the years that Michael Bisping and Cody Garbrandt had. Bisping defeating Anderson Silva, getting the belt from Luke Rockhold, and then defending the belt against Dan Henderson. Cody Garbrandt going 4-0. In the his first win of the year was against a guy who I can't even remember the dude's name. Cody was like really not anywhere close to being a champion at the start of 2016, but he fought a lot, fought impressively, defeated Thomas Almeida, stepped up to fight Dominic Cruz, and in defeating Dominic Cruz, earned the fan vote by a hair over Michael Bisping and my vote as Fighter of the Year 2016. Congratulations, Cody Garbrandt, even though my bullshit podcast award pales in comparison to the UFC Bantamweight Championship that you won last Friday. So congrats to Garbrandt, Bisping, all the recent champions. Congrats to you for not only making it through this podcast, but making it through 2016. You know, 2016 was a rough year for a lot of people. Me personally, it was a decent year, I guess, but a lot of folks were saying, oh, all these celebrities died, you know, this and that. It seemed like a normal number to me. I don't know if everyone was just freaking out about it. You know, it was a very political year, so everyone had their guards up, and you know, we will see what happens in 2017. See what the year has in store for all of us, all personally and as MMA fans. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is, I guess, shit, our fifth year doing it. So, for those who have listened from the beginning or you're just tuning in now, we really appreciate the support. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at the MMA Podcast. I need to get the background music going. There it is. It's always hard when it's a monologue form and your brain is all over the place. You gotta control the sound. You gotta keep talking. The words have gotta keep flowing out of your mouth. You don't want to have any dead air. Thank you for tuning in every week. We can be found on iTunes, themmapodcast.com, but primarily you want to find us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/themmapodcast. We will be back next week to preview that Rodriguez versus Penn card. If you have listened from the beginning, you'll probably know that BJ Penn is one of my favorite fighter. No, he is my favorite. Yeah, he's my favorite fighter of all time. And I'm pretty nervous because if it goes the way all the experts says it's gonna go, my boy Penn is gonna get his shit pushed in against Yair Rodriguez. But I'm hoping against hope that Penn training with Jackson's comes out and looks dangerous. So we'll be breaking that card down. We'll be getting Pat's picks for the MMA podcast awards. We will talk a little more about Cody Garbrandt winning that bantamweight championship. What's next against him? We have a fun month too. We got Chael Sonnen and Tito Ortiz fighting in 2017. That should be fun. Like I said to Pat, how wild is it that in 2017 the two events we're starting our year with are being headlined by BJ Penn and Chael Sonnen? Wild stuff. I couldn't ask for anything better. Thank you once again for tuning in, and we'll be back next week. Until then, we on.
Jake, tune into the MMA podcast every Tuesday night.
Knock the wild style, always been a foul child. Will I, sucker? I'll be the coming like Noah.
The MMA podcast, Jake is the host. And since Ramsey's been in a wheelchair, the Aunt Jimmy show has been on the road. I wanna say John Jones is a host, so I think that I'll pick up the phone and dial 213-457-3380. We got hot takes on the stove. You get blood on your clothes if you're sitting in the front row. I throw on my gi and then I lace the hoops. I'll have Gal lying down cause he ain't the truth. And if Allen wasn't a cop, I'd mention you. Shout out to Ross Finkelstein the Jew. Cause according to you, you're an MMA guru. A Boo Bisping lost his hands, Count Dooku. If you're a fancy boy, you get a 2-minute slot. Mr. Reed wants a title shot. So listen to the MMA podcast. Throw a high kick, but I flop that. Call me Diaz, screaming George, where you at? I want the strap. But you know that I'll never tap. So listen to the MMA podcast. Throw a high kick, but I flop that. Call me Diaz, screaming George, where you at? I want the strap. And you know that I won't tap. Mystery. The MMA podcast. Most of us just live and breathe this fighting shit.
Shut up, Jake. Shut up, Jake.